Welcome to the Clubhouse with Shane Bacon. I am your host, Shane Bacon, on this beautiful Monday, post-Tiger Monday. Yes, he returned, and he played well. Top 25. You know, he didn't hit his driver anywhere close to a fairway all week long and was still able to shoot par or better for four rounds on tough golf courses. I would say if you were going to give him a grade, you have to give him an A, at least in my opinion. Sure, he didn't finish in the top 10. He didn't win all those things, but made the cut on the number and then played solid over the weekend considering the way he was hitting that driver. If he can straighten that out, we are in a legitimate area of Tiger Woods contending and possibly winning a PGA Tour golf tournament in 2018. I'm not sure I saw that 6 months ago, a year ago. I definitely didn't see it when we saw him, you know, blading chip shots and WD and taking the full year off. So I would say you've got to be happy, Tiger fan or not, and seeing what we saw from him. It was good stuff. He putted well. He chipped the ball relatively well. His iron game was a little loose as well. The full swing wasn't quite there, but, you know, it was his first event, first full event on a golf course. He was hitting a lot of golf shots out of the rough. So I was impressed with Tiger Woods, of course, impressed with Jason Day as well. The victory on Monday morning against Alex Noren in that playoff. Jason Day nearly didn't play this week, was talking about his bad back and still able to get out there and get the W, first one since that 2016 Players. So thumbs up. 2018 continues to be great. Seen some big wins from some big names, including this week, Jason Day does it. Rory McIlroy, two top threes in his first two starts on the European Tour. He's back as well. So many people are back. That's impressive. And speaking of, OGO is back. It's the leader in bag design, includes the great golf bags they make. I've been carrying my bag a lot lately, and the Cirrus is the perfect companion for that. Plenty of pocket space, but it doesn't feel like you're hauling 1,000 pounds from the first tee to the 18th. Everything you'd want and more. Use the offer code THECLUBHOUSE. That saves you 20% at checkout. And a reminder, we still have a giveaway going. We're giving away a terminal travel bag from OGO, a dozen Callaway Chrome Soft golf balls, the new Chrome Soft golf balls, and some Travis Matthew gear, a shirt and some pants. All you have to do is write a review of this here podcast on iTunes, screen grab the review, and fire it over on Twitter at @TheClubhousePod, and boom, you are entered. It is simple as that. We're going to pick a winner midweek this week, so make sure you get that in if you haven't already. One last thing, we started a Clubhouse podcast Instagram account. A lot of people send in pictures of the koozies and stickers we've sent out to them over the last few months. It's at the Clubhouse Pod, just like the Twitter account. Follow it. If you've got a picture, if you're out on a golf course, you're at a golf tournament, you got your koozie there, take a picture, send it over our way, and we'll post it on the account. That's kind of the point of it. We want to show the Clubhouse, you know, in different golf courses, and different tournaments around the country and around the world. So follow that at the Clubhouse Pod. I have PGA Tour live duties this week. Mark Connival, John McGinnis, Karen Stupples. So make sure you tune in for that. We'll get going on Thursday. Excited. Always love doing the Waste Management Phoenix Open. It is a fun event with a great field. So do that. And that's about all for me. I got Bob Herrig on from ESPN.com. He was at Torrey Pines all week following the Tiger Circus and was up close and personal with Tiger throughout the week, getting to see the good and the bad. Talked a lot about Tiger with him, touched on Jason Day, and then finished up with Phil Mickelson and really the struggles we've seen from Phil over these weekends, especially when he's contended in some of these events. So here we go, Bob Herrig at the Clubhouse. And we welcome back into the Clubhouse one of my favorite golf writers out there, Bob Herrig of ESPN.com, was on the road as he normally is following the Tiger Woods show over the week and the weekend at Torrey Pines. And Bob, first things first, we're going to get to the champion Jason Day in a minute, but I wanted to start with Tiger. You wrote a glowing piece on Sunday that focused on the good that happened with Tiger, so we're going to start right with that. What grade would you give Tiger for the week, all 72 holes?
Probably would make it a B, maybe a B minus. Part of that is, I think we're judging him by the past. If you base it just on what he's been through, maybe it should be higher. You know, maybe it should be more like a B plus or an A minus. Because to have only played, you know, five tournaments now in 2.5 years, and to be able to shoot under par at Torrey Pines and finish in the top 25 and clearly not have big parts of his game operating, you know, I think all in all it was a success. He's got plenty to build on, obviously, plenty of work to be done. But, you know, I don't think people would have been surprised if he missed a cut and shot a couple of 75s. So, you know, I think all in all, it was a good performance, and I think he took a lot from it, a lot of confidence as well.
Yeah, I mean, the positives were obvious there. I mean, first things first, he finished in the top 25, which, as you mentioned, I don't think a lot of people had that. I mean, I think people were hoping he'd make the cut and just compete for four rounds. He was healthy, which was nice. He didn't grab his back. He was 16th in the field in strokes gained putting, which is something we've seen him struggle with the last few years. And you wrote this. He grinded out rounds. Didn't shoot over par, despite, you know, just an abysmal driving exhibition, if you will. Those were such positives. And for my calculation, really only hit one clunky wedge around the greens the entire week. That short game is something that he can lean on. And if he starts to hit the ball well, he can compete. I mean, that's really what you got to take away, I think.
I don't think there's any question. I think there was a lot of thought that that the short game would be spotty, that putting wouldn't be there, but they were. I mean, let's be honest, it saved him. I mean, he doesn't shoot those scores without it. I mean, he just had some remarkable up and downs from some tough spots. You know, the first day he didn't hit the ball close enough to give himself any chances. He made what, 36, 38 feet of putts. And it wasn't because he wasn't putting well. It was because he wasn't close enough to the hole to make them. So, to be able to hang in there, to not shoot over par, I thought was a great sign for him. And obviously he's going to have to grind it out. You know, he's not going to have these great, great ball striking days, very often. I don't think you're going to see these hitting 16 greens, like would be common for him sometimes. You know, he's obviously going to have to get the ball and play more. You just can't play from the rough like he did. It's amazing that he did as well as he did playing from the rough. He did give himself some birdie looks, but it's not a recipe for success. You know, it's going to catch up to you. But all in all, I mean, no injuries, hitting the ball far, going after shots in the rough, not flinching. You know, these are all good signs right now. Through, you know, he's played two tournaments, but this one was obviously a way more difficult test than what he had in the Bahamas.
Yeah, I mean, you go into this event, I mean, you've covered, you know, plenty of major championships, Ryder Cups, President's Cups, all that good stuff. When you go into an event like this, this year in 2018 for the Tiger return, what was the feel like in the media center amongst your peers when you guys were getting set for the week to start, and then you saw what Tiger was able to do with the game he brought to Torrey? I mean, especially with the driving he brought. What was it like to cover this event for you, who is a guy that's seen Tiger make these comebacks before? You've seen Tiger win golf tournaments, win championships. What did this feel like to you that was a little bit different than maybe some of these returns in the past?
Well, I think there was a sense this time that this one wasn't one that was maybe going to end badly. You know, I think what we're recognizing now and realizing is that he has not been quite right these last few years. That he went into these tournaments sort of hoping to not fall apart physically. And that in the back of his mind that it could at any time, really. And he's harped on that so much and discussed that so much to the point that you believe him. You believe him that he feels confident that his back is not going to give him any issues. Now, there could be some other physical things that crop up. You know, he could still have some back problems not related to that spinal fusion. You know, I think there was more of a sense of anticipation this time instead of dread, you know. And then, you know, it's kind of funny how everybody saw how well he drove it and how well he hit it in the Bahamas. I think that, you know, the way he played off the tee this week was a surprise the other way. I think there was a little bit of, well, what's going on here? How could he hit it so good there and then have all these issues? And but, you know, we probably should have expected that it wasn't going to be very easy. In fact, I think we knew that coming back at a place like Torrey Pines was going to present a lot of challenges, not wide fairways, deep rough. I just don't think people thought had so much trouble getting the ball in play.
Yeah, I mean, the steps that I think if you were going to make a list of the steps in a hopeful return to 2018 for Tiger, would step one would be play healthy to start. He did that. You know, get a few tournaments under your belt. We should see if he does that. And that is something you pointed out. You wrote a piece. You wrote six bullet points, kind of observations you had from the week. And one of them is you want to see him play more. We know he's going to be at Riviera in a couple of weeks at the LA Open. What would be, in your opinion, what is a perfect schedule for Tiger moving forward up into the Masters to make sure he has all of those, as he loves to say, reps, so he does feel comfortable out there and it's not so, you know, show up here, play, take this time off, show up here, play. What would you like to see Tiger do over the next 3 months before we get to Augusta?
Yeah, see, that's the thing that's a dilemma to me is, should we really be talking about him getting ready for Augusta? Is that realistic? I mean, I think he believes it is, and so we're going to discuss it, obviously. It's going to be written about, but he's looking at maybe playing 4 or 5 tournaments tops going into Augusta. Rory's going to play 8. You know, and Rory had all last year and the fall and all that, and, you know, Jordan Spieth, you know, these guys have been playing, practicing. Tiger's way behind in that, and I've sort of had this attitude that you need to look at the year in the big picture and not focus in on any one tournament. For Tiger, that's probably impossible when it comes to the Masters. So you can probably figure out he's going to play Honda and Bay Hill also 4 tournaments before the Masters. Is that enough? I don't think it is, really. But on the other hand, if he goes and plays another tournament somewhere, does he risk overdoing it? And I think this is the balancing act he's going to have this year, trying to find what's right. And to your point about, you know, taking the time off in between events, that's okay if he's able to use that time to work on his game. Obviously, I don't think he needed to be back on the driving range at 8 this morning, or 8 Monday morning. I think he needed to, you know, he'd take a day or two off to rest and rehab or whatever. But then by, you know, middle to late in the week, he needs to kind of get back at it again. I'm not sure he was able to do that before. You know, he needs to get back into the routine of practicing and working on his game, whatever that might be, and then take it into next week, you know, so that he's prepared to go at Riviera. So when you think of it that way, you wonder, should he maybe play more tournaments? Because he even said it's a different ball game. He referred to it as a different speed in tournament golf. Well, so then shouldn't you want to play more tournament golf so that you can experience that more? You know, there's no way you can simulate it at home, he said. Okay, well, if next week you were going to play 4 straight days walking, hitting balls before the round, hitting after, then maybe you ought to just play a tournament.
Right.
You know, so on the other hand, you know, for Tiger, there's so many other things that go with that. You know, just the, I think sort of the outside things that come. There is a stress level, an exhaustion level of being Tiger and just the hubbub and the media and all the things he deals with that maybe he doesn't want to have to deal with as much. So, you know, it's fascinating because he doesn't let us in on all this stuff. You know, you don't quite know for sure, you know, what he's doing when he's back home. We did find out that the week before Torrey Pines, played 4 straight days in Florida with Joe LaCava, and the weather wasn't that great. It was chilly and damp, you know, actually perfect conditions to get ready for Torrey. So, in essence, he did that 2 straight weeks. You know, I think that's a good sign. Now going forward, how does he balance that? How does he add in tournaments and try to make sure that he's prepared to play in tournaments?
Yeah, and of course, the elephant in the room here with Tiger, I mean, all of the other things outside of this is the fact that Tiger has never been that great of a driver of the golf ball in the sense of hitting fairways. That's never been something he's been great at. I mean, there's a reason he was hitting 2 iron stingers for a majority of that run when he was winning major championships. The problem is now is he's got to play in big events. He's going to have to play against Dustin Johnson and Rory McIlroy, who hit it 340 yards down the center of most fairways. We love this Tiger comeback. I think everybody can agree it's going to be fun to watch in 2018. But do you believe he can compete and actually win if he's driving the ball even halfway better than he hit it this week?
I do. I mean, because I think the rest of his game will come around. He'll dial in his wedges. You know, his iron game is still very strong. It wasn't so good this week. I think a lot because he just didn't have a chance to play from the right spots. You know, it's, you're not going to control the ball very well out of the rough. And, you know, the times that he did hit the fairways, you know, he showed some struggles. He had some short wedges in, two of them I can remember on Sunday that he didn't hit very close. The first day he had a wedge on the 13th, a par five, that he dumped in a bunker. You know, so he wasn't very proficient with those either, but I think that will come. But to your point about improving his driving, and you make an excellent point, he's never been a stellar driver of the ball. I mean, certainly in the last 10 years, that declined. I mean, if he got to 60% in driving accuracy, that was good. It was usually around 54 or 55. So, I mean, he's got to kind of get to half, don't you think?
Right.
He needs to be hitting 7 of 14 fairways to give himself a chance. Now, some places, being in the rough isn't going to be so debilitating. And we saw an example on Sunday where he bombed a drive down there on the second hole, his 11th. And, you know, he was in the rough. And this is where the stats mislead. But he had a simple pitch, and he hit it up there to 5 feet and made birdie. You know, so if he's able to hit it far and miss the fairway by a yard or two, and it's a you know, an intermediary cut of rough, that's not the end of the world. But obviously, as you know, we see plenty of golf courses out there where the rough is tough. In Florida, it will be that way, he's going to need to figure out a way to not be in it so much.
Well, you know, I have this theory, and I want you to reach out if you can to Ridley at Augusta National. So they tiger-proofed Augusta after he won in 97, where they added rough, you know, and never had rough before. Do you think they can anti-tiger-proof it this year, take all the rough out, and then allow Tiger to be able to compete well there again? I think that would be smart. That's nice of them to do for Tiger. They tried to make it tougher for him when he was in his prime. Why not, you know, scale it back a little bit? Let's cut that rough down.
You know, I don't think it's the rough is such deterrent as it is. It actually keeps stray shots from going into the pine straw. But obviously, if you're in that rough, there's a difference in controlling the ball and all those things that the great players talk about and can do. But you know, you're right. I mean, they took a golf course that he could dominate, and they made it a really, really stern test. But still, you know, in many ways, plays into the hands of some of the long hitters. And the difference, though, is that there's so many places now where you cannot recover from. You know, Mickelson's talked about that often, that why he loves Augusta is you can drive it poorly but recover. Well, you're not going to recover very well in those trees on the right of 11 on a 505-yard par 4. and you know, there's other places, 15 and places like that where, you know, it's just, it really hurts if you miss the fairway or if you don't at least get it near the fairway. So, you know, that regardless of his preparation, you know that going in there, it's going to be interesting to see how Tiger performs there. It's been 3 years since he played the tournament.
Yeah, 20-1. You even wrote that up. You said a little silly, maybe 20-1. But hey, who knows? We'll see. You know, people would love to dump money on Tiger Woods. We've talked for 15 minutes, and we haven't mentioned the champion, Jason Day, winning Monday morning. And Bob, I got to say, I mean, considering he WD'd from the Pro-Am and was talking about his bad back before the event even started, can you think of a top-notch player that was more of a surprise to win than Jason Day this week at Torrey Pines?
I'm not sure I saw that coming, especially given the WD and that his back was bothering him. You know, he played a practice round for 9 holes with Tiger on Tuesday and didn't look very good. You know, it was, he didn't look like a guy who was going to be holding the trophy at the end of the week. But, you know, we've seen this with him before. I mean, when he won at Torrey 3 years ago, he pulled out of the Pro-Am. A couple of years ago when he won the match play, you know, he nearly withdrew during the first day. You know, so Jason's got his own back issues to deal with, and it obviously shows how difficult it can be to try to play with that. You know, it's really been a struggle for him. Hard to believe it's been so long since he won. You know, a year ago this time, he was number one in the world, and he dropped to 13th. So maybe now he's on the way back. Certainly that was a pretty good performance. I believe he birdied four of the six playoff holes. It's good stuff. It ought to give him a nice boost. And now maybe he deals with success a little bit better. I think he has admitted that he kind of got to the top and it was hard to stay there. And now he might be better equipped to deal with the trappings that come with winning and getting your name out there again.
Yeah, I mean, you look at our year already, 2018, and everybody writes preview pieces and preview podcasts, and they try to get excited for the year. There's a lot of big names in golf right now, and I think golf fans are really excited about the season. But we've already had the number one and two player in the world win on the PGA Tour. We had Patton Kizzire, who's won twice now in the wraparound season. Impressive, young player who looks to be kind of in finding his form. Now you've got Jason Day winning at the Farmers. And oh, by the way, Rory McIlroy, two top threes in his two starts on the European Tour. I mean, you could talk about a good season in January, but this had to, pass your expectations in the sense of these players playing well when you wanted them to start the season.
Well, Jason and Rory, both fell out of the top 10, and now all of a sudden both are back in the picture. So that's a really good sign. And Dustin Johnson has won already. And as you know, to John Rahm, and flirted with it for 2 days at Torrey Pines. And then Pat Kizzire, the only player to win twice this season. We've not seen a whole lot of Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth yet. There's so many things that are going to be coming down. Obviously, the great field this week in Scottsdale. It does. It's presented us with a lot of neat storylines already. It's good to see some of these named guys step up and put themselves out there again at the forefront.
Yeah, and somebody that hasn't had a ton of success on the PGA Tour the last year and a half, I wanted to touch just quickly on Phil Mickelson. He got to 7 under par at one point this week at Torrey Pines, but we saw a lot of this a year ago. He'd get in contention or he'd get within a couple of shots of the lead. He'd make a mistake. He'd make a bogey over the weekend. It happened a lot on the second nine, on a Saturday or Sunday. And his game just completely falls apart. It's like when the wheels start to wobble, he can't recover. Phil's 47 years old, turns 48 this year. Is this fatigue? Is this interest? What's going on with Phil Mickelson where he can't seem to complete 72 holes successfully?
Well, we're guessing a little bit, but I have to wonder if these focus issues that he discussed last fall, remember he missed the cut at the Open and at the PGA Championship and things looked pretty bleak. And, then he came back in the playoffs and he actually talked about getting on some medication and having these issues with focus and he got it turned around a little bit. He played decently. Obviously was picked for the President's Cup and played pretty well there. Third place finish at the Safeway, 15th in China. But these two tournaments he's played this year, he's had a bad stretch that's just mystifying after playing pretty well. And at Torrey, he goes in Saturday, six under, I guess, was starting the weekend in contention. Got up to 7 under, and all of a sudden just fell apart. He made a double bogey on the back nine, and he couldn't recover from it. I don't know if that was all part of the focus thing or if he got discouraged. I don't want to certainly accuse him of not fighting it out because I don't get the sense of that at all. But you just wonder if he was deflated a little bit and it took something out of him. And then yesterday, after shooting 76 on Saturday, where's the motivation on Sunday?
Right.
He's been doing this for so long, he's not going to win. Is he just trying to find some good things? He did say after the final round that, it's not as bad as it looks. There's a lot of good things about his game. But again, that sort of suggests, you're having this bad stretch of holes. I mean, obviously, you're not going to win too many tournaments shooting 41 for nine holes. And he's on a busy stretch now. He's in the midst of playing five in a row. So, you know, does that give him the ability to work on his game like he needs to in between events, or does he have to conserve energy, what have you? He's fascinating to watch. I mean, I don't think any of us would count him out. You know, nobody really mentions age as the factor. You know, we don't say, oh, well, you know, he's doing that because he's 47. You know, maybe he is, but that's not a, you know, we're not just dismissing it for those reasons, because there's so many other parts of his game that still remain strong. And, you know, so we'll see. You know, this week is another good place for him, a place where he's won and where he's had success. And, you know, Torrey Pines really is not that place anymore. You know, his three wins there were a long time ago, and the golf course has changed a lot.
Yeah, and just struggles to find fairways, too. I mean, it seems like Phil and Tiger kind of battle the same thing. I still want those two to be paired together with the Zurich. I want them to team up and do this. I think it would be as somebody said on Twitter, they'd have to add a few more gloves, I think, in their bags just to sign them and hand them out. But if nothing else, throw the old guys out there, see what they can do against the young guys. Last thing I wanted to touch on with you, and it was you and I on Twitter today kind of defending ourselves about it. I mentioned I think it's weird that if there's a three-person playoff and a guy gets eliminated on the first hole, he still finishes tied for second against the guy like Alex Noren, who goes, you know, the distance, plays six playoff holes before losing. And of course, a lot of people came on there and said, you and I are idiots for thinking this. I mean, it makes sense, though, right? I mean, there's no reason that a guy that's out there, you know, you beat the one guy. I mean, I know the playoff is there to figure out who wins, but if you beat the guy in the playoff, I feel like you should finish higher than him.
I completely see that side of it. I really do. I mean, you know, I guess I haven't really given it a ton of thought, but I get the other side too. You know, they all finished equal for 72 holes. You're trying to determine a winner. And after that, if you don't win, then everybody else is just grouped in. Okay, that's fine. But where it becomes a big difference to me is like in the case of Noren. You know, Ryan Palmer went out after one hole. Noren went five more holes.
Right.
But now he's paid the same. He gets the same position as the guy who wasn't able to hang in there for those five holes. I don't think that's such bad logic, really. I don't know. I was taking a beat over it too. I don't quite get it. I mean, it's just not that, it's not that cut and dried, you know. But I mean, if you go back through history, this is just how it's done. If there were 10 guys in the playoff, there would be a 9-way tie for second, no matter when they went out, you know. But in other cases where there are playoffs, say like an example for qualifying, and I might use this as an argument back. Let's say those three guys are trying to qualify for the U.S. Open, okay? And Jason Day wins the playoff, so he's in, and they need a first alternate. Well, the guy who lasted the longest is the first alternate.
Right.
They're not tied. You know, so, you know, they're, again, now, and but, you know, you can make the argument, well, you know, that's different because they're trying to get in some. But, I mean, those two guys finished the 18-hole or 36-hole qualifier in the same score, right? And so now they're playing off to go, but yet the way they break the tie is from who lasts the longest number of holes. So I don't know if that's a good argument or not, but it isn't like it's just to me, you know, it's not the end of the world to consider the idea that maybe the guy who lasts longer in the playoff. I mean, let's say Jason Day birdies the first hole, okay? Okay, and then and the other two guys don't. Then fine, they share it, obviously. But if one guy gets knocked out, I don't think it's such a crazy thought to think that he's going to take a place farther down.
Yeah, I mean, Ryan Palmer's at home watching the playoff on his TV, and he's going to finish tied for second with one of the guys that had to get up at, you know, 6:30 in the morning and go bang balls and prepare themselves for it. It was interesting. If nothing else, it's an interesting argument to have. I will say it's probably the most I've been called a moron on Twitter in a while. So obviously PGA Tour's back. Woo-hoo-hoo, hooray. Bob, I appreciate you taking some time. Are you going to be at Waste Management this week?
I am not. Pebble and then Riviera.
You just do the nice ones. You go do your LA thing. Go do Monterey. That's not a bad gig.
Hey, listen, Phoenix is a good gig too. So as you know, so that's a tough one to miss. But I can't go to them all.
Especially with the field. I mean, you know, one thing I've been impressed by with some of these young players, Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, Hideki, all these guys, is in the olden days, which, you know, I'm thinking 15, 20 years ago, you know, the players detested coming to the Waste Management because it was so different. These guys want to be a part of it. You know, they want to be a part of the party. They want to be a part of this atmosphere. I mean, they're saying possibly 800,000 people out of TPC Scottsdale over this week. And I think with the weather that they're looking at right now, it's going to be in the low 80s, high 70s. I think that number could even go a little bit higher. I mean, these guys love being a part of it. I'd love to see, you know, the Spieths and the Thomases of the world, you know, in the hunt on Sunday, even though we all know Hideki Matsuyama's going to win again. But it's a fun event now, and I like that the young guys have kind of embraced it a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's great. I mean, it's, you know, the variety is good. And obviously we know that type of environment and atmosphere doesn't work everywhere, wouldn't work everywhere. Some places try to copy certain parts of it. Obviously they get it. They get it exactly right there. That's what they're known for. And you know, the players who go there and support it understand what they're in for, and to their credit, they embrace it, you know, and that's good. I mean, I think it's good that to have an event where maybe your focus isn't laser the whole time, you know, like you can enjoy the surroundings a little bit and take it in. And obviously it'd be hard to put it all aside and ignore it there. But good for the ones that do. It's neat.
Yeah, good to embrace it. Like you said, go to the bird's nest on a Friday night if you're having a good time and enjoy yourself. Hey, these guys are professional athletes and they make a lot of money. They should have a little bit of fun. Bob, I appreciate the time. You can obviously check Bob out at ESPN.com. Always writing up great stuff about this game. And like I said, been a fun season so far. I can't wait for the rest of it.
Me as well. Thanks a lot, Shane.
It looks like I'm a wreck. It's in the hole! It's in the hole!
Many thanks to Bob for joining us on this Monday. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Just a reminder to check out that OGO giveaway we're doing. Really simple. Write a review on iTunes, the podcast, screen grab it, send it to the Clubhouse Pod on Twitter, and you're entered to win. We're going to pick a winner midweek this week, so get those in if you haven't already. If you have got them in, trust me, I've already got them all kind of logged and loaded, so we'll have somebody pick a winner, and you'll get a bag and some golf balls and some Travis Matthew gear to start your 2018. Many thanks to OGO for the help, and as always, supporting the Clubhouse Podcast. Go to OGO.com if you need a new golf bag, travel bag, backpack. Everything they have is top-notch. You'll love it, trust me. And if you use the Clubhouse at checkout, you'll save 20%. So you're going to save some money and get some new gear for 2018. It's a lot of fun. I'll be on PGA Tour Live starting on Thursday. Waste Management Phoenix Open. We'll have some big names in our featured group, so make sure you sign up for that, and you will hear from me on Thursday. Hope you guys have a great week. Get out and play a little golf. The weather's okay. Make some birdies.